Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As the word is being ministered today, be free to come on and be at the altar if you need to. The waters are stirring today. The healing waters of Bethsaida are stirring today. Nobody's going to hold you back from coming. Hallelujah. Waters of deliverance are stirring today. Waters of miracles are stirring today. I want to invite my friend Glenn Herman to come and introduce the man of God today. We thank you so much for being here, my friend. God bless you.
I first met Abraham Ipley George on February 23rd, 2008, in the Skyline Church. There he gave his powerful testimony, and there I sat with much excitement and great skepticism. I listened very carefully to his testimony, took notes, and in the process of listening to it, I had strong ambivalent feelings. One was, this is the craziest story I've ever heard in my life. And therefore, it can't be true. And the other side of my brain was saying, there's so much about this that makes sense. And because of the way Abraham spoke, I was sort of sure deep down inside that what he was saying was something he had experienced and not a story. And I had this thought, and now I'm just reasonably certain it was from God, that this story needs to be checked out. Because if it's true, it's the greatest thing that's probably ever happened in Alaska. And if it's not, people need to know that it's not. And this guy needs to be stopped. And so as I had that thought, the Lord said, well, why don't you do it? And I pondered it a while, and I thought, I think I will. It sounds interesting. And my starting point was based on one statement that Abraham made, I knew that it would be easy and quick to disprove. The statement that rang in my spirit was, before Abraham was sent back to earth, the Lord gave Abraham several promises that would help him do his task. But the one was that caught my attention especially was, I will be with you, Jesus said, and my power will be with you. I wrote that down, and in my smart little self, I said, gotcha, dude. That will be so easy to disprove that this will probably take no less than 2 weeks. And I'll have this thing wrapped up. Well, as I began to do my homework, my research, I instantly began to find out that that statement was happening. Wherever Abraham had gone, there was a powerful manifestation of the Spirit, healings, deliverances, and salvations. And so that started my journey that lasted until even right now. I had no idea. By the way, are we on kingdom time or world time? Oh. You know what that means, I guess. All right. I had no idea that I was entering into a journey that would actually probably last the rest of my life. So far, it's taken since 2008, so I guess that's 7 years since I accepted that small assignment. And in the process of accepting that assignment, I got to a point to where I was seeing evidence everywhere. I was laying on the ground, growing on trees, coming out of the woodwork. And I actually got to a point where I was saying, Lord, you know, I have seen all I need to see. You don't need to give me any more evidence. And it just kept coming and coming, and it still comes even now. But somewhere, you know, the Lord has prepared through the way he did this thing with Abraham. It is an amazing story. Just like the story of Jesus is an amazing story, but there's also an amazing punchline to it. Basically, some of the things that I've discovered along the way that I think you should know is that Abraham, when he had this accident in 2005, he was a gross unbeliever, if there is such a thing. He was known in two villages as the town drunk. That was his claim to fame. He was a violent man. He was feared by many people. He was feared by his wife. And at that time, Eileen really hated him. And I can't blame her. So essentially, he was a very bad person. He's not somebody that you'd ever want to hang around, for sure. But after his accident and his miraculous recovery and healing, he was transformed. I mean, from floor to ceiling, transformed. And as I began to write about that, I realized that there is a law of physics that basically says that it's the law of motion, that in cause and effect, there is something that is in motion will continue in motion until there is a force equal to or greater than that motion. And that law applies in physics, but it also applies in life. When you've been running your life the way Abraham ran his life for over 20 years, with all the momentum of alcoholism and abuse and violence and crime and jail time and all that stuff, what kind of a force would it take to stop that and put it in reverse instantaneously? Well, that is the most powerful proof that anyone could ever hold forth, because it is true. He was transformed by the power of God instantly. At that time, in 2005, Abraham was what I call a biblical ignoramus. The same thing I was when I got saved in 1968. I didn't know Adam from Adam's apple at that time. But amazingly, after I got Abraham's testimony in writing and then many other interviews, added more information, more detail to the story, and began to look at it with glasses on from, is this scriptural what he said? Because I am Bible from beginning to end. And if this thing doesn't jive with the Bible, I'm not interested in it, no matter how good it feels or sounds. Well, here's the verdict. Even though he didn't know the scriptures, within his testimony, there are 52 confirmations from the Word, meaning that there are 52 statements that he makes in his testimony that are either quotes or near quotes, word for word, from statements in the Bible, or they are by principle approved of in the Bible. 52. Now, I've been studying the Word for 47 years now, and if I decided to make a story like this without notes, I could never do that. But what makes it even more interesting is that there is not a single thing that he said that I have found that is contrary to what the Bible teaches. Now, I don't know how you look at that, but I'm looking at it as like a miracle. It's like that is like walking on water. Because this man has told his testimony hundreds of times, and he has never written anything down. He's never taken notes. He never uses notes. This is like walking on water. Now, the other thing that I've learned is that though he had, not only did he not have a reputation, but his reputation was a minus, on a scale of 10, it was a -5. That was his reputation. Okay? But in spite of that, very soon after he came back, he started to get invited to villages in Western Alaska to tell his story. And that sort of has gained momentum as time has passed. And as of today, he's been invited to share his testimony in 78 villages in Alaska. Now, for any of you that have ever been involved in evangelism, especially in villages, you know that what I just said is a huge miracle. He has gone to villages that have been totally closed to the gospel, and essentially the whole village shows up to hear his gospel testimony. I mean, what is his testimony but a restatement of the gospel? I mean, it's all it is. I mean, it's amazing. So many people have received salvation that, the guys that hung around with him at the beginning that I've talked to and interviewed, we lost count. One guess was in three villages there were 700 salvations. 700 in one little swing. This guy is the real deal. Now, the other thing that I've been hanging with him, at the beginning, this was not fun. Because, he is a native, and I'm part native, but mostly Gusuk, right? And I ask penetrating questions, and it makes him wince. He told me one time, he says, my dad taught me that it's not polite to ask questions. And I went, it almost sounded like he was ready to deck me, And I just kind of looked at him and I said, what? You're going to have to get over it. I said, because if you don't answer these questions for me, you're going to be answering these same questions 10,000 times the rest of your life. Every time you go anywhere, you're going to ask the same questions over and over and over. I said, so you just be good now and answer these questions and we'll, it will cut down on your answering time in the future. So he's been a good boy overall. And we've actually been fishing together, which really helps, kind of blend the nets together. And the conclusion that I've come to is that, if you enjoy seeing and being around Abraham, you better do it quick. Because he's heading for the world. This story is bigger than the villages. It's bigger than Alaska. That I knew the instant I heard it. I said, if this thing is true, this is a mankind story. And wouldn't you know, somewhere along the line, one of the native ladies at one of the groups said, well, we were talking about someone should write a book about this. And I said, yeah, they should, And she says, why don't you write it? And I looked at her and I thought, well, yeah, maybe I should. So there's a lady here in Anchorage that was used by the Holy Spirit, just sort of put that idea in my head. And so that started a 5-year project, gathering evidence, and then writing. If you knew me, I am a native by heart. I love the outdoors. I do not like sitting at my desk for 5 winters in a row. And but that is a miracle too. So the bottom line is the book is done. It should be ready for distribution by the end of this month. And and believe me, it tells the whole story with all the details that he doesn't ever have time to tell in these meetings. And so his testimony there is an anointing on his testimony. I found that he can tell it backwards, from the middle to the end and back to the beginning, because he doesn't use notes, and it doesn't matter. It has the same results. And me being a Aristotelian logical thinker, it really frustrating me, and especially because I'm going, well, Lord, you're showing me it doesn't matter if it's in order or not. And so I've learned a lot through this process, and now I want to present to you my good friend Abraham, and allow him to be used by God again. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Yes. Yes, all those words that he put in the book, there are much more that I didn't add to it, what the Lord had made me experience. To me, it's not a story. It was a hands-on training. Because I didn't know the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, and I haven't studied. I was too mischief to memorize the words from the beginning. And when the Lord had brought me back, and there's more story, what him and I revealed turned into a book, it's just a surface. And the reason why it's hard for the native to ask question, to be asked question, it took a toll on me because I was raised up, don't ask questions. It's not very polite to ask questions. So I grew up on that. Never ask questions. Only I ask questions if I want to get my grandpa angry. Or I ask so many questions to pick on him when his head turns around quickly. That means he's looking for his cane to club me. So all those questions that he asked, that I had to ask for patience from above, because I have no patience in this flesh. So I'm still working on that word called patience, and it's a virtue at the end. So Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory and praise. Everything that you had done in your word and what you had let me experience, you said, tell your children. And I told you, Lord, I don't know how to speak in front of the people. They won't believe me. So, Lord, it is you who done this from the beginning, and it is still you who's still orchestrating this, and it is still you who's giving the wisdom and knowledge that I don't have. Thank you for anointing this this testimony that you had hands-on training looks like, and it was all from your word to give you the glory and honor. So anoint my tongue. Sometimes my brain says it, but my tongue is not trained to speak, but you can do it as usual, and you always do it, so your children will understand your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, I was, from the beginning, my growing up, on my dad's side, they were church-going family. Most of them, they're ministers on a denomination with lots of rules and regulations. And I don't go by that no more, because regulation is from man. So everywhere where the Lord had taken me, it's for his glory, not from this tongue, because this tongue is untrained. But he can do anything for his glory. And for his glory that he does, if he wants to pick any old drunkard out there in Anchorage, he can, because I was one of them. Yeah. He picked a drunkard that he don't know about the Word of God. And then when he picked somebody And he'll say, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. That's what he told me. He told me, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and I chose you, and I set you aside. And then I couldn't answer more questions, ask him question. When I think of the question, he answered already. And then what I say, wow, you answer my question before it's still in my brain. And he answers me, he said, he knows all the thoughts of man. And I didn't know it was in the word, and yet that is in the word for his glory. Yes, yeah, when this thing happened, when the Lord intervened, I was still drunk, I was still in the world. It was on my third treatment of alcohol treatment. And every time when I go there, seems like they delay my dividends. So they use my dividends checks to pay for my treatment. So I told the judge like this, I guess you want my dividend. Ever since you sent me to the treatment, I stopped receiving the dividends. And then I told the public defender, I call him public pretender. So they don't really defend the natives. They pretend to defend the natives by their rules. So I told the public pretender that ever since you guys put me to treatment, I stopped receiving the dividends. And then that was my third time. And then after the third treatment, it was 20-something that I went back to Manakodak. And then that Sunday we buried that old lady. He was here. He was old here on earth. But when I see him again, she was young. So that... So that old lady was being buried on Sunday. And that Monday, I went to Hallwood, tree hunting, or Hallwoods. So that time, I was still thirsty. I was still addicted to alcohol. So I went. And that morning I went out, and on my way to Hall Woods, there I ran into two guys from back home. As a matter of fact, at this time they're still in prison. I used to drink with them a whole lot. And then on the way back, after that young man had come from Dillingham, I was still drinking. When the Lord intervened, I wasn't still saved. But the Lord knew it. And on the way back that afternoon, I told these two guys, because I had booze with me, I said, I don't want to get stuck. If I do get stuck, why don't you both push the sled? So... on the other side, you guys can make it too on my old trail. So I speeded up the snow go, and all of a sudden I stopped. When the snow machine stopped quickly on the way down, that means your sled is still coming with a big load. So Glenn got all those evidence how big was my sled. So that big sled landed on my back. So I had lots of injuries from that. And then these two guys tried to lift the sled off my back. It was too heavy. I gathered the big old logs. So they'll last quite a while. And so When the sled landed on my back, I injured lots that wasn't survivable at that time. As that doctor said, I supposed to be dead not too long after that impact. But he's holding the keys, my Lord Jesus. And then that time they brought me back to the Kodak, these two guys. And the doctor at that time assessed my injuries. I could see him in his expression, and he knew where the blood was coming from my internal injuries, because my chest cavity was full of blood. My liver was bleeding terribly. My chest was inside was so full of blood, and my heart pressure was going down minute by minute. And at that time, there was a minister from Manakodak. He prayed for me using the blessed water. When he was going to use that blessed water, he asked the guys around him, should he be using this? And then this guy said, go ahead and use that blessed water. Because in Marivian, one of their many rich rules and regulations, they don't use blessed water or anointing oil, even though anointing oil is written in the Word of God. And so anyway, that minister poured the water in my head in Manakodak, prayed for me. And at that moment, as he prayed for me, I was still drunk, but yet the Lord answered the prayers. As soon as he stopped praying, the village was, the weather was snowing. So it stopped snow, and then they brought me to airport. When in the airport, one of the cops, I heard his statement. He said, he's coming home in a coffin. He's not going to make it. That's what the doctor, that O'Connell, told him. And then when we reached Dillingham, they brought me into a Knacknack hospital. There they x-rayed me. When they x-rayed me, these two doctors came. They saw the how much injuries I had. They had a sad face look on them. And I could hear them, even though if they medevac him to Anchorage, he's not going to make it because he's too injured. And so that moment, a guy from Kuichluk, he's an Orthodox priest, he prayed for me. And after he prayed for me, the air ambulance landed to Dillingham. And then they brought me down to airport. And then from the airplane, what my grandma used to tell me about when a person dies, he don't die, he just, his spirit is alive. When I was small, I never used to believe when a person dies, he's alive. No, I thought when a person dies, he stays dead. That's what my belief was. And then when they start taxiing out from Dillingham Airport and the plane took off, before we were still climbing like this, that's when it seems like from quite awake, seems like I had an extra excruciating pain. I couldn't breathe, and then all of a sudden, I came out. When I came out from my body, And I saw my own body lying in the stretcher. And I still could hear all the EMTs saying, speaking. And then the moment the person appeared in my Yupik language, he spoke. And then I couldn't see his face. He was so bright, but yet I could hear him clearly in my own Yupik language. And then before I even complete the question I ask in my brain, he already answered. And then what I was about to ask him, he answered already. And in my, what he said was, he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father only through our Lord Jesus Christ. When he said that, I said, that was our Sunday school lesson when I was small. Jesus will say that only. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father only through Jesus, only through him. And I said, he must be him right there, that standing on my side right there. All that time, all my questions in my thought before it came out here, he answered them. Wow. For he knows our thoughts. And before we even ask him, he already knows them. Praise God. And he said to me right there, tell my children that he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father only through him, only through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then from that, at that moment, it was just like a twinkling. I blinked my eyes and all of a sudden I was in this beautiful place. I was able to see right through, and so gold is everywhere, precious metals, whatever the word of God tells about, it's all there. I was in this 12-foot wide, as I estimated it. Boy, it was so clean and pure gold. I was standing, and it was true. The Bible says that place has pure everywhere. And then I hear, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, forever is to come. The whole heaven and earth is full of his glory. And I said, wow, everywhere, even the plant is moving back and forth. Even the grass is moving back and forth. And my mind was rushing with lots of questions. And then while my mind was still rushing with lots of questions, I stooped down and touched those green grass. It went like this. Boy, those grasses hugged my finger, and I felt peace, joy, and love. Peace, joy, and love went in. And even though I walked upon them, seems like the joy of peace, joy, and love is coming from those where I was touching. And Jesus said to me, everything that his Father had made for the saved souls in joy, they are alive. They're alive. They're so alive up there. Even the plants are alive. Even the grass are alive. And then I hear again, holy, holy, holy. And I see lots of saved souls raising their hands, raising, glorify our Heavenly Father. They glorify our Heavenly Father. Up there, they're not quiet. They don't have no rules and regulations in their denominations to be quiet. Everybody, when they glorify your Heavenly Father, every tongue, they raise their hands, glorify your Heavenly Father. And then what he said, Adam Tang, look. And then when he said, look, pretty soon I seen all the nationalities of the earth, everyone, all the colors of the earth. I, as far as my eyes could see, little babies. And I said, what is this? Jesus said to me in my Yupik language, they were boarded, they were stillborn, they died when they were in their mom's womb, and they died while they're infant. Boy, up in heaven, all these little babies were everywhere. When the cherub glorifies, those cherubims glorify your Heavenly Father, even babies glorify your Heavenly Father. And my Lord Jesus answered, tell me like this, tell their mothers, if they accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, that baby will be united with a mother, and they'll be united for eternity, forevermore. They will be no more depart from in there, and that baby, no matter what nationality is he from, that baby, if the mother accepts Jesus as her personal Savior, when the mother's soul reaches that beautiful place, first thing that baby's gonna do is recognize the mother. Boy. And then when I say holy, when I hear holy, 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 that means every plant, even this kind of plant, even their leaves are moving back and forth. Glorify your Heavenly Father. Even the flowers that we see, they're alive. When they say holy, they burst with a beautiful that I cannot fully explain that beauty of that smell that bursts holy. When they say holy, that smell of heavenly smell, the roses. All the plants, everything up in heaven are alive, just like my Jesus told me. Whoa. And then there was this lady who we buried in Manakotik, and I said, I thought these were old. This lady that we buried, she was so young, her hair was wavy. She was wearing a gown that I have, that those same souls are wearing. Seems like they were moving gently. And I said, I thought she was old. And everywhere I turned, the old people that was here on earth when they were alive, they were old, they were young. And my question was, I thought they were old, and my Jesus said to me, remember, he was on the cross when he was still young, when he was 33 years old. When a person dies believing and serving our Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes out from the body, he'll be young, he'll look like Jesus, and he'll have lots of teeth. Maybe I had lots of teeth. When I put my tongue, I had teeth. All seems like my teeth were back. I bet my hair was back too. I didn't do like this though. Like my late dad and my late grandpa, they had full of hairs. While they were alive, getting in age, they lost their hair. But when I've seen them, boy, they had their hairs. Boy, no wonder Jesus said in the word, he knows all the numbers hair on our head. Up there they got them back, so I'm not worried. I'll get them back. So praise God, there was no old people. old people, everybody was young, seems to me 30 and younger. Those babies were so young, and I've seen all the nationalities of the earth. There's everyone that had the Lord had made in his image. They're up in heaven. They're all up there. Even the angels we see, they have all the nationalities of angels. There's some Yupik angels. There's some angels everywhere that the Lord had created like us. Boy, they are so many. And my Lord Jesus said to me again like this, tell my children that he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father only through him, only through our Lord Jesus Christ. When he said that, I said, I can't speak in front of the people like this. They will not believe me. I was like a terrorist. You know, I was wild. Even the Dillingham police, they didn't like me because I fight them when they get me angry. But from that on, boy, it was a big change, thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ. And then my Lord Jesus said to me, tell my children that Jesus is the, oh, he's the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father, only through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then my Lord Jesus told me like this, you want to see where the unsaved souls go? Just by saying his hymn, saying hymn. His word has a power. His every word has a power to move. When he didn't turn me around by his hand, when he said, you want to see where the unsaved souls go? It seems like I turned around, and then I start moving in different direction, away from the saved souls, but he was still on my side here, my Lord Jesus, right here on my side. And then before he reached that place where he's taking me, boy, I start smelling this, smell that so excruciating, so gross tech that I haven't smelled here on earth. It was so terrible. And all of a sudden, I couldn't see any light from heaven. It was so dark, so black, that it was cold. There's no love in that place. I hear all the languages of the earth. So many, many nationalities, their tongues are there. And before, what is this? And Jesus said to me, this place is called the outer darkness, where the unprofitable servant will be. That place is so dark. Even the love of that brightness of that beautiful place called paradise, the brightness of that bright cannot enter there. It is so black, pitch black, whatever. It is so, there's no love in there. The hatred, and there's all I can say, it's cold. There's no love, there's no light. And all the languages I heard, including my own Yupik language, Jesus said to me, this place is called the outer darkness, where the unprofitable servants are. And from that on, my Lord Jesus said to me, you want to see where they are being tormented? From that outer darkness, I still could feel I start going down. I still feel going down. And then before I reach where he's taking me, I start hearing, first of all, my own Yupik language was there. All the languages of the earth was there. I hear him, my own Yupik language. I hear him in my Yupik language with the terrible voice. He was discomfort. All I can say is that place, that person had chance, but he missed, just like Jesus told him. That soul who spoke in my Yupik language, he spoke, I'm tired of being tormented. I'm tired of being thirsty. This is no place to be. Give me another chance. Give me another chance. And Jesus answered that soul. I was waiting with a stretched arms ready to forgive you. But you didn't believe in me, he said. You died in your sins. That soul that who asked Jesus for a second chance, but Jesus answered him there. I was waiting with a stretched arms ready to forgive you, but you didn't believe in me. That soul, all he had to do is accept him as his Lord and Savior. That soul didn't accept Jesus as his personal Savior. That's why he was in that pit. Each soul that he sought me, they were in a pit. They were about chest weight deep. The fire would consume that soul. He would scream. He would scream, I'm tired of being tormented. I'm tired of being thirsty. This is no place to be. Give me another chance. And the fire would subside a little. He showed me the worms were coming out from his eyes, nose, mouth, and ears. And Jesus said, where the fire will never be quenched and the worms will not die. Jesus showed me that place is real. That place, in that place they are being tormented. They were wishing they had given their life to Jesus while they were here on earth. That poor soul, he is still being tormented. He is still being called, give me second chance. There's no more second chance. And then there was another soul again. He spoke in my Yupik language. Mani nang tklingunga, maksilngulrenga. That soul spoke in my Yupik language. I'm tired of being tormented. I'm tired of being thirsty. This is no place to be. Give me another chance. Then again, my Lord Jesus answered that soul. I was waiting with a stretched arms, ready to forgive you, but you didn't believe in me. You killed yourself. Suicide is not the answer. Answer is our Lord Jesus Christ. That person who committed suicide without Jesus, that poor soul screaming and hollering, give me another chance. But my Lord Jesus answered him plainly. I was waiting with a stretched arms ready to forgive you, but you didn't believe in me. You killed yourself. Suicide is not the answer. That soul at of this very moment, he is being tormented at that place where he took me. Jesus said to him, this is where you're going to be until the great white throne judgment. And after you're judged, there'll be a lake of fire when he throw that hell and whoever is sent into the lake of fire. That is real. And then there was another soul that spoke in my Yupik language. He said, Agayuig mikam chalima maschung ashakuruga tatogulukitin mancha. He said, I thought I worked in church most of my life. How come I'm here? I'm tired of being tormented. I'm tired of being thirsty. This is no place to be. Give me another chance. That place was a pastor. That person was a minister. He said to him, you hated that one soul that nobody cared about. He said, I was hungry. You never offered me food. I was thirsty. You never offered offered me water. I was sick, you never come to me. I was in prison, you never come to me. I was in hospital, you never come to me. I had no clothes, you never clothed me. When you hated that one soul that nobody cared about, you did that to me. Jesus told that minister, that means we cannot hate for who they are. We cannot hate one person. One person that minister hated or he didn't like, that's the reason why he's being tormented. And still at this very moment, I bet he's still there saying same words. Jesus said to that soul, I was hungry. You never offered me food. That minister didn't have one love for that one person. That's why he landed there. And Jesus said, I said, I don't want to be here. That place is awful. I hope nobody lands in that place. It's so real. And Jesus said to me, look up. When I looked up, the souls were falling like a black rain. And I said, what is this? Jesus said to me, these are mostly teenagers. Because they didn't honor thy father and thy mother. While they were disobeying their parents, when they get killed, they are falling just like what you're seeing them. Tell my children to honor thy father and thy mother. Tell my children, this place is real. And my Lord Jesus, he knew my thoughts. There more stuff in that place that he showed me. And then there was another soul that spoke in the word that he speak. In the loud voice he hollered, Father Abraham, send down Lazarus to dip his index finger to cool my tongue, for I'm being tormented. That rich man is still using those words as if he had written in the word of God. That rich man is being tormented. He was saying, Father Abraham, send down Lazarus to dip his index finger to cool my tongue. And what I found that, it was written in the word of God. And my Lord Jesus said, I'm going to bring you back. From that place, my Lord Jesus, he has the keys to that place. If he wants to show anybody, he can, because he already told it in the word. Lord, my Lord Jesus brought me back to that beautiful place. Once again, we were in that beautiful place. But I didn't forget about that outer darkness and that hell where he took me. Jesus said to me, tell my children that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell my children I am coming soon. Tell my children I am coming soon. And I said, I cannot tell your children. They will not believe me. And Jesus said to me, I'll speak through you. And then I tell them again, nobody will believe me these things. And he said to me, I'll speak through you. And I didn't want to come back to this place. He said to me, I'm going to bring you back. I said, no, I want to be here with my loved ones. And my late father appeared. He was so young. He is not old no more. He said to me in my Yupik language, he said, it's not your time. Go back. It's not your time. And Jesus said to me, I'm going to bring you back. I didn't want to come back. And then my Lord Jesus said to me again, Satam Tang, look. When he said, look, he showed me this, where I was standing, it was like a glass. Around it, it was like a glass. It was so clear. And in this being, I seen these big clouds around it. And around it, he showed me these beings, four people on each side right there. This would say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, forever is to come. And there was one on top, and then there was one on this side, one on this side, one on this side. And what he did was, each one had six wings. Upper wing would cover their face, lower wings would cover their feet, and from the middle of wings they would go up, fly up, and they glorify your Heavenly Father nonstop. Every time when they glorify your Heavenly Father, everything in heaven, they glorify your Heavenly Father. Because he's worthy to be praised. Every time when they say holy, everything, even the plant, glorify your Heavenly Father. Plants glorify your Heavenly Father. And then my Lord Jesus showed me where this crystal clear, it was so clearer than this water, so clear from where I was standing. Jesus said to me, that where he is seated, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, his throne, and from his right hand the living water is flowing. Wow. And from that living water it gently flows, and in that crystal clear river, from there I could see the glittering soap. I try to use all the words here on earth, but there's always more to it. Seems like I can't finish it. There's more to it than from the bottom of that crystal clear river. It was so dazzling. Precious metals were there. And on each side, Jesus on my right side tell me, these trees that I'm showing you, he said, they are trees of life. He said, every month they bear new fruit. And he said, these leaves are for the healings of the nations. Jesus said to me, tell my children, that place is so real. Everything that the Lord had talked about, it is written in his word. My Lord Jesus showed me everything that I seen, but they have more words to it. And along that river on each side, seems like he showed me there were big giant, to me there were big giant salmon berries. Boy, they're big. So maybe two pigs would come. Boy, they're huge up in heaven because they are drinking from the living water. So it is so awesome. And then again, my Lord Jesus told me, tell my children that he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father only through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, tell my children he is coming soon. He said, tell my children he is coming soon. And then he said to me, I'm going to bring you back. I didn't want to come back. I did all my best. I tried to make excuses. Best of my knowledge of my excuses, he didn't listen to my excuses. He said to me, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you to the places where you never even thought of going. There you'll tell my children that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father only through Jesus himself. Tell my children he is coming soon. He said, tell my children that he is coming soon. And while my Lord Jesus was bringing me back, he showed me the earth was just like a little blue marble. It was getting bigger. He said, I'm going to bring you to the places to tell my children that he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father only through Jesus Christ. He said, tell my children I am coming soon. I did my ability, best of my ability. I can't speak in front of you guys like. I can't speak in front of the people. He said, I'll speak through you. I'll tell my children. He said, I'll speak through you. And then as soon as we start coming towards the world, the whole multitude of angels were singing my Yupik language. They can sing any given language here on earth. For I'm Yupik and 100% I understand Yupik, angels were singing in Yupik, that song, while Jesus was bringing me back. And then the earth fire seems like the northern lights were everywhere. And what is this? Jesus told me, he's pouring out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh in these last days. He's pouring out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh in these last days. He said, everywhere I take you, there'll be the fire will grow like that. That's the Holy Spirit's living fire. That's happening now. It's everywhere as he's pouring out his Holy Spirit upon all flesh. The fire would break out. And he said to me, I'll be with you wherever I take you. And then my Lord Jesus brought me back to this body. When I opened my eyes, there was a blue cloud speaking in my Yupik language. He said to me, I'll be with you wherever you go. Again, he said that to me. He said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And that song was still singing, and that nurse was there. You hear that? You hear what I hear? That nurse was there. It's in the book, ready to sign off when I'm completely out. So when that nurse came, he was there. She was surprised what the Lord can do. That nurse that spoke in my Yupik language, he accepted. Can I say her name? Kitulrem. June. She said verse by verse, accepting Jesus. Because she knows, she saw how terrible situation I was in. And then when the Lord brought me back, I was speaking already. And then not too long later, these doctors sent me home. From there, the Lord let me travel to these villages that has so many rich and laws and orders in their church and regulations. But anyway, the Lord, lots of people came forward to accept Jesus in that first ministry for his glory. For his glory. Seems like every time when I try to do the best of my ability like this, I never even finish telling it. It's more. There's more to it. only way to reach that place is to through our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your personal Savior. Live for him daily. Pray to him daily. And when that day comes, all of a sudden you'll be in that beautiful place where he sought me. It is real. There's heaven, there's outer darkness, and there's hell. And it is written in the Word of God. And then when they asked me if I had studied the Word of God, I was too mischief to study the Word of God. But he taught me what is written in it. Everything is in it. Jesus spoke of it. Oh, praise the Lord. It is for his glory. And wherever he takes us, will be gone. And if the Lord had touched you, even though I condense it, let us stand and reassure that we have Jesus in our heart. Praise God. Okay, Heavenly Father, through your Son Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. From the past until now, Lord Jesus, write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you come back in that trump, I'll be with you forevermore. Lord Jesus, help us today through your Holy Spirit. And the rest of our lives, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is for his glory. Boy, if I keep on and on and on and on, it's going to be another day. And another day it's that long, but it's going to, The first book is coming out, and what we didn't tell, it's going to be another edition. Oh. Not too long ago, I had a vision that the earth was shaking. Earth was shaking. And then when the earth is shaking, he showed me the water that gushes out into that way up in the air, that water gushes out. He showed me underneath there's very big melted rock. And when in his command, that volcano will be erupted, and when that day comes, when he wipes out all the wicked, all that that melted rock will rain on them. That thing, that day is coming. He said, these days, all the America is turning away from the Word of God because of gay marriages. They changed from man to woman, from woman to man. They're infiltrating the Word of God. These days are the last days. That thing that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, it's going to happen. These earthquakes are coming together too soon. They're not far apart. And in the Lord's command, when the Lord tells that Yellowstone to explode, many people will die. So we got to keep praying for redemption. He's coming. It's going to happen. Thank you.
When Abraham was speaking, he was talking about the earthquake, and it reminded me of the word that Eleanor brought last night about the earthquakes that are happening. And also Judith was speaking about that also. Wow, what a powerful testimony. It's one of those words that'll cause us to really examine our hearts and really examine where we're at. And it's a wonderful thing when we begin to look at ourselves and say, what is it that I need to do? And what is it that I'm not doing that I should be doing? It's a powerful thing. Glenn, can you come up here and just tell us a little bit, just take a couple of minutes and tell us about the documentation that was when Abraham actually passed away, when he had died. Can you take a couple minutes?
Well, there's a chapter in the book called The Medical Evidence, and I have gotten all the medical records that are available. The only records I wasn't able to get were the ones from the flight from Dillingham to Anchorage. Somehow they're disappeared. all the injuries that Abraham has ever mentioned and more are in the records. When I got the pile of records out of the Native Hospital here in Anchorage, I had a pile of paper, intimidating 1.4 inches thick. And you know how medical stuff is. It's like a foreign language, right? And so I was stuck on that, and I thought, man, there's no way in the world I'm going to make sense out of this. And I've forgotten how the encounter happened, but I ended up having two ladies that their life profession is reading medical records. And that's what they do for a living. They do it for lawyers and whatever. And somehow they took an interest in me and this project, and they said they would do it as a kind of a fun project. So they took the records, and I told them what I want is one page layman's language of all the significant injuries. And so that page is in the book. And in the medical records, there is no official statement of death. The three-day healing that Abraham experienced, there's no possible way to verify the healing. And what I've concluded after asking many questions, thinking about it and whatever, is there's nobody in the world better equipped to know when the healing happened than Abraham himself and how long it took. And so basically, my conclusion is there's nothing in the medical records that contradict anything Abraham has said. And but not everything that he has said is in the medical records. So there's a little wiggle room or a little mystery in this whole thing. And but the evidence that his healing happened in 3 days, the Lord kind of bailed me out, because I was determined not to put anything in the book that I couldn't verify myself. But the way he's helped me out with that is I've got a statement in there from Melvin Andrew, who is like the most credible guy in Manicotic. I won't go into all of his details, but he is Mr. Skookum himself, and who happened to be Abraham's arch enemy for 20 years. He's highly trained, not highly trained, but medically trained and trained in the law. And so because he was the law and Abraham was the lawless, you can imagine what that meant. Had a mutual unlove affair for all these years. And the day he loaded Abraham's body in the plane was one of his happiest days. He said behind his breath, and I captured the words, I'm glad to have, I won't put all the words in this format, but glad to have one big pain in the butt out of my life. And he was, He was sure he would never see Abraham alive again. And he did say, the next time we see Abraham, we'll be in a casket. And that is such an amazing there's actually four stories in this book. Melvin's is one, and it's amazing. The story of Melvin is, ew. Do you agree? It's just like, wow. So as far as the medical goes, Abraham's injuries were terminal. He was definitely, I mean, when I first read the medical, the one sheet that he carried around with him, I had the feeling like, you know, this guy's like he was hit by a Mack truck at 60 miles an hour. Seven fractures. You didn't even tell him all your injuries, Abraham. Seven fractured ribs, three broken vertebrae, four fractures in his pelvis, punctured left lung, lacerated liver, broken tailbone. And then there's many, huh? Yeah. And then many, many other types of injuries, flesh injuries, internal injuries, whatever. Long story short, he should have been dead instantly. And everyone medical that looked at Abraham pronounced the death sentence on him, behind their breath or outward or whatever. But the Lord had a different idea. And so that's kind of the long and the short of that. The other thing that besides Abraham, or besides Melvin Andrews' statement about, oh yeah, I didn't even get into what he said. He said he heard on the radio, meaning the muktuk telegraph in the village, that they were going to pull the life support from Abraham. And when Melvin said something was said, I believe it. So he said he heard it on the radio, they were pulling life support. Then to his amazement, 3 days later, he heard that he was walking around. That quote is in the book. So to me, that was pretty heavy evidence. It's like this guy, Melvin Andrew, is not someone to sow a fairy tale. He's not a fairy teller. Neither am I. And so there's two or three lines of evidence that I conclude. My conclusion was the evidence points to that what he said about 3 days is true, even though it's not in the medical records. And, you know, what do doctors know about when someone is healed? I mean, you know, they go, how do you feel, you know? So that's the long and the short of that one.
I guess that's the long of that one.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Do you have your smartphone? Well, look up celestialtraveler.org. The name of the book is Celestial Traveler. Now, some of you are probably scratching your head, how in the world did you come up with that name? Well, here's how it happened. Sometime in the project of writing this thing, I like letting the Lord have the final word about stuff, so I said, what should I call this thing? And I heard Celestial Traveler in my head, or in my heart, and I went, well, I don't even know what celestial means. Which was a proof for me that this wasn't my idea, because it wasn't even in my vocabulary. It was like Yupik, you know what I'm saying? So I grabbed my dictionary, and I looked it up, and I went, oh my goodness, this is the perfect word for this story. Because celestial is a word that combines the spiritual and the physical in one word. It has to do with planets, spirits, angels, heaven. My goodness, it was like a custom-built word for the book. And then for all the ultra-conservative white sidewall Christians in the world that ever get this book, I actually did a little research on celestial to find that there's about six verses in the Bible that mention the word celestial. So it's actually a biblical word. I didn't know that either.
Amen.
I didn't say enough yet. healed. Yeah, we're on kingdom time, so you'll see the statement that I made about the healing. When is someone healed? Well, my statement in the book is that Abraham was healed enough for the medical staff to release him with a form saying, condition good. And he walked out of the hospital. He immediately went into ministry. He didn't wait a year like the guy that wrote 90 Minutes in Heaven to tell the first person about it. Not to say anything else, but as far as that every single owie or injury or stiffness or whatever, no, that's not the case. But he was healed enough to walk out of the hospital with a medical statement saying condition good, and to be in a church sharing his testimony within 5 days. So, to me, that's healed. Would you say? All right, okay.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we can be, and we will be, celestial travelers ourselves. Celestial beings. Amen. And you know what? If the grass can wave their blades, we can wave our hands to the Lord right now. We worship you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. Holy, 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 holy are you. Holy are you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a precious holy time we've had here this morning. I just want to invite everyone to come back this evening at 6 o'clock. Mary is going to be speaking. Our wonderful worship band is going to be playing, and we're going to be worshiping the Lord together. It's going to be a wonderful time. God is pouring out revelation for our state in these times. And there's been prophetic words about Alaska impacting a nation, and about God moving through Alaska out into our nation. Well, how is that going to happen? I believe one part of that happening is Abraham George going out into our nation and impacting our nation. That he will travel, and that he will impact the nation. And Glenn, I believe that you're going to travel with him also.
I'm afraid of that. Oh, that just brought one thing to mind. Something else that I discovered in going through all the avenues that I did. I discovered a prophecy that who's that guy with the balding head? Benny Hinn, made in 1991... And here is almost a word-for-word quote. In 1991, he said, there will be revival breaking out in Western Alaska. Not Alaska, but Western Alaska. When I read that, I went, I can't believe this. Well, I don't really use that word anymore, but that's in the book. And, of course, Abraham is from Eastern Alaska, right? No, Western Alaska, that's right. So, yeah, these little fires, Benny Hinn saw the same thing that Abraham saw. When Abraham was coming back, he saw little fires, he says, along the coast of Alaska. Well, Benny Hinn in 1991 saw the same fires. He said he saw fires in Western Alaska, and then that was going to impact the rest of the nation. So get ready. You better take pictures because he won't be here long.
Hallelujah. Father, we just bless you. We worship you. We glorify you in this day, Father. You are worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. Father, we glorify you here, Father. And Father, as we go out among the city today, Father, we thank you, God, that you go with us, Father. We love you. We bless you, God. I bless each one here, God. Thank you, God, for your peace, love, and joy going out with each person here today, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.